This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Tough to peg this one for the New England Patriots as they go down to Jacksonville and struggle with a two-win Jaguars team, 23-16. Your final score, and some good and some bad for the Patriots today. Adam Jones with you on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. The bad, this game in general for the Patriots. However, you're able to squeak one out against Jacksonville. Exactly, Kevin. Not the prettiest game we've seen this year. In fact, eerily reminiscent to another game earlier this season where the Patriots went down to Florida and struggled with the Dolphins, and also similar to that Buffalo game here in New England where you had a pick in the end zone that had to seal it. Patrick Chung with a couple of interceptions in the end zone in this one. We'll get to him in a little bit. But the good news for the Patriots today, they got some help. One out of the two teams they needed help from, they got it, as Minnesota beats Houston 23-6, which means if Houston loses next week and the Patriots are able to hang on against the Miami Dolphins, the Patriots will be able to get into one of those top two spots in the AFC. Cleveland and Denver just about to get underway, so the Patriots looking to get some more help there. We'll touch on this game between the Patriots and Jaguars, as well as the Patriots and their standing in the AFC. You can weigh in 508-298-0398 or email us webradio@patriots.com. What went wrong with the Patriots today? And how do you feel about their standing in the AFC? 508-298-0398. Send your emails to webradio@patriots.com as the Pats pull out a 23-16 win over the Jaguars. It helps them improve this season to 11-4. Before we get to the feedback here, let's kick things off, as we always do, with the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Look, a tough one here for the Patriots today. However, they do pick up a win, 23-16, and it's a hard game to really get behind until you look at Houston losing earlier today against Minnesota, and I wouldn't completely rule out Cleveland giving Denver a game. I do think they're pesky defensively. I'm not sure they win, but let's see. Let's see if the Broncos go through a similar spot that the Patriots did today. Not a ton on the good list. However, I think you have to start with a couple of rookie defensive players for the Pats. The Jaguars drove on each of their final two drives, and the Patriots got a huge sack from Dante Hightower on third and goal on the Jags' second-to-last drive, and then Chandler Jones on the next play, fourth and goal from about the 10-yard line. Chandler Jones pressures Chad Henne, tips the pass, and the ensuing pass goes right into the hands of Pat Chung. So I thought two young rookie defensive players made big plays for you in a key spot. So both Hightower and Chandler Jones on my good list. I think you also have to have Wes Welker on the good list after this game here today. 10 catches, 88 yards. That is his 18th game in his career with 10 or more catches. That's the most in NFL history. He passes Jerry Rice, who had his single season receiving record fall last night. So two straight days with Jerry Rice having a record fall. I also thought that Danny Woodhead should be on the good list for the second straight week. Not a ton of production when you look at the raw stats. Two catches for 38 yards. He had a touchdown. Also three carries for 7 yards on the ground. However, I thought the touchdown that he had was a huge one with 18 seconds left in the first half. It tied the game and let the Patriots come out and start the second half with the football and a chance to take the lead, which they did eventually, 16-13. So for me, the rookie defensive players, Welker and Woodhead on my good list. And by the way, those rookie defensive players on one of the turnovers, another red zone turnover for the Patriots. They have now forced 8 on the season, including 2 today against Jacksonville. Flipping it over to the bad list here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. I think you have to have Tom Brady on the bad list today. And granted, he didn't get a ton of help, which we'll get to. But Brady, 24-41, couple of picks, and to me, they were both poor decisions by Brady. Or one bad decision, one bad execution, right? He underthrows Ridley on that wheel route early on in the game, so poor execution on that one. His interception to intended for Brandon Lloyd, rather, was just a poor decision on Brady's part. I thought the picks were bad. In general, the offense struggled throughout the course of the game, as the Patriots do win 23-16. But I thought it was a bad day for Brady. He had no help from the offensive line today. Arguably, their worst game of the season. 9 quarterback hits and 3 sacks allowed for the Patriots offensive line. And what I think has been a growing trend for the Patriots. And when you look at it, maybe it's more anecdotal than anything else, but another game here today where the Patriots offensive line at the end gives up a killer sack when the offense can close things up. They're up 23-16. They're facing a third down. Alu-Alu beats Dan Connolly and sacks Tom Brady, and they have to punt it back to the Jaguars. And, you know, your heart is racing at the end of the game, waiting for the defense to make a stop. So I didn't think the O-line helped out Brady. I also thought Aaron Hernandez had an awful game today. Just a terrible game. He had a series of drops last week against the Niners. I gave him an excuse because there was some production. This week, short-armed a couple. Him and Brady were totally on opposite pages at various points. Just one catch for 13 yards on 5 targets. I thought Hernandez was bad. Another player who bailed himself out, and I'll put a little asterisk on this one, was Pat Chung. I thought that unnecessary roughness hit to start the beginning of that Jaguars' final drive was the height of stupidity. However, he helped bail himself out with a couple of interceptions, though one was greatly aided by Chandler Jones. So I wanted to put Pat Chung on the bad list. I couldn't quite bring myself to do it. The only injury that I was tabulating here is Aqib Talib, and we knew that in pregame warmups looked terrible. He was in and out of the game here today for the Patriots. We'll keep you up to speed on any injuries that do come out postgame as New England improves to 11-4 with a 23-16 win over Jacksonville. It's a Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you. We're presented by Sun Life Financial. They can help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sidelined with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. Coming up on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, we'll head to the podium. Well, you'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. That'll be in about 20 minutes here on Patriots.com. Also a half hour after that, you'll hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. Also hoping to get a member of the Patriots from that victorious locker room. As the Patriots get some help today with Houston falling, and you now have Denver and Cleveland underway. As we keep our eyes on that AFC playoff picture, another game that seemingly has just wrapped up. Cincinnati on top of Pittsburgh 13-10 with a late field goal with just 4 seconds remaining. So it looks like Pittsburgh may fall out of the postseason. The Bengals are a team that the Patriots could wind up facing in week one. We'll keep you up to speed on all of that. Want you to weigh in here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. What do you think of the Patriots' chances of wrapping up a bye week after Houston falls earlier today? They're still going to need some help, whether it's from Denver this week or from Houston again next week. But what do you like about the Patriots' chances, or what do you think, rather, of the Patriots' chances? And also, your thoughts on this win, ugly as it was, over the Jaguars today in Jacksonville. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's open up the phones. We'll kick things off with Alan in Texas. What do you got, Alvin?
Hey, how about those New England Patriots? And you know what's sad about this? People from Texas, they didn't allow me to see the game, so I kind of cursed them. You guys are gonna lose. And Prime at the Jays, and go Pats. And I think we have a better chance, you know, to get first and second, regardless, because the Texans are falling apart.
Yeah, I mean, look, Alvin, I think the way Houston's trending, and we appreciate the phone call here on the Sun Life Patriots post game show. You know, Houston came back with this huge answer last week against the Colts. They have the Colts again next week. And we'll see how things shake out with Indianapolis. I mean, they struggled to beat Kansas City today. 20-13 was the final in that one, but it's not like they put away the Chiefs, who are arguably the worst team in the NFL. Who knows? You know, back in Indianapolis with Chuck Pagano back and coaching the team, you know, what does that mean for the Colts in their final home game? They have a lot to play for. So does Houston. I wouldn't rule it out is all I'll say. The way the Colts have played, I've been impressed with how the Colts have played all season. I didn't have them pegged for anywhere near what they wound up doing this year. I don't really know anyone who did all the way back in the preseason. So that Indianapolis Colts team, with another win today. They're 10-5, and they can't catch Houston, but you know they can play their way into the number five seed because they're still duking it out with Cincinnati, who's at 8-6. So actually, scratch that. Indy's pretty much locked into the five spot. So maybe Indy doesn't have as much to play for unless you just have the motivation in your final home game to try to stick one to Houston. That win, by the way, for Cincinnati, although it's still yet to be final, 4 seconds remaining in it, would mean the Bengals are in the postseason and the Steelers are out. I would tend to think that's a good thing for Patriots fans. If you're looking at how the postseason is going to line up, I'd rather face the Bengals than the Steelers if that's going to be the number six seed that you're choosing between. And it seems like that's going to be the case with a little under 4 seconds remaining in that game. Let's continue with the phone calls. Let's go to Joel in Atlanta. What's going on, Joel? What do you got?
Hey, Adam.
How you doing, Joel?
I didn't physically see the game, but I was keeping it up on the Patriots at play-by-play. But I really just wanted to call and say our chances look good going into the playoffs with the Steelers. I believe they're about to lose. And also with the Texans losing today, Denver, I think, is going to beat the Browns. I believe they just scored a touchdown, if I'm not mistaken. But in all, Adam, it looks good. I just wanted to wish you a merry, merry Christmas. And I see us taking it all the way.
Well, I appreciate that, man. And look, I understand where you're coming from, Joel, with Denver, and I can't necessarily say I disagree. I just think that at some point, you know, you're going to see the Bengals potentially struggle to put up points against Cleveland. You know, we've seen them struggle in some bad games earlier this season. What was it, the Thursday nighter? They struggled with the Chiefs as well. So I'm not saying they're going to lose, but I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland gives them a game. And by the way, that Cincinnati game has gone final. So Steelers are out of the postseason. Houston lost earlier today. So far, with the early outcomes and Denver's is still pending, I'd say it's been a lot of good news for the Patriots outside of what you saw on the field today in Jacksonville, which was as ugly as it comes. That said, still a victory today for the Pats. And I don't know if I made this explicitly clear. I certainly hinted at it in my good, bad, and injured. But I would pin this one almost entirely on the offense. Like, to me, the defense was pretty good today. Not perfect. Not perfect by any means. But 16 points and a couple of turnovers forced in this game, and I thought timely sacks from the Patriots. They didn't get them until late, but when they got them, you know, I thought they were timely, or at least timely pressure, I should say. And the Chandler Jones play is the one that comes to mind. You know, Dante Hightower had one on the play right before it. Those are back-to-back plays where you needed pressure. You needed it. So, I don't know. For me, I felt pretty good about how the defense played today. Even though it's a bad Jaguars team, 16 points is not unheard of. The Patriots should have scored a million points on that team. And instead, they got 23. So, for me, most of this goes back at the feet of the offense. And that's where most of my frustration is. You heard my bad list. Brady, offensive line, Hernandez. So I was disappointed in the offense today. That said, I think the offense will take care of business in the postseason. I believe in the offense. But for one day, in week 16, I thought the offense had a bad, bad day. Let's go back to the phones. 508-298-0398. Al is in New Jersey. What'd you think of the game today, Al?
Adam, a couple points. You know, a win is a win. They get out of town, no injuries. I know Talib is injured. But you know what? There's a such thing as playing down to your competition, which I think they did. You know, A-plus for Chung, A-plus for Welker. They definitely missed Gronk in the red zone. There's no doubt about that. And also, Brady had a lot of throws last week. What do you have, like 60-something throws? And there's no doubt in my mind that this had to have affected him. A win is a win, and it really is looking good for us.
Well, look, and Al, I think with the outcomes today, and we appreciate the phone call, with the outcomes today, the Patriots win. You know, I mean, that's how you got to look at it. Not the prettiest game of all time, but a 23-16 win over Jacksonville, 11th win of the season for the Patriots. And again, not pretty, but coupled with Houston falling and Pittsburgh falling, I would say those are both good results for the Patriots. And by the way, keeping you up to speed on that Denver game, the Broncos did indeed score. They're on top of Cleveland early, 7-0. But, you know, if the Patriots could get a little help in that game, all of a sudden they're not only in a good spot, they're in the driver's seat to bring home a top two seed in the AFC and have that bye week, which we've discussed on the last two, three, four Patriots postgame shows. I think the way the Patriots do it, it's borderline a must for New England. Every time they've gone to the Super Bowl, they've had it under Bill Belichick and with Tom Brady at quarterback. So, you know, that's how I feel about it. So, you know, you're watching this Cleveland game, and obviously you're rooting for Denver to fall, not just to knock off a team that's on fire, but to help you and get that bye week, which I do think is important. I don't buy into the you want to play in the wild card round to be battle tested. I don't buy into that theory. Let's go back to the phones. Our buddy Melvin is in Tennessee. What'd you think of the events today, Melvin, between this game and also elsewhere in the AFC?
Well, elsewhere in the AFC, I'm pretty happy about Pittsburgh going out. Like I said, that their defense and that deep threat that they have, I think that could cause a lot of problems, especially opening up with the wild card weekend playing a team like that. I'm glad they're there. All the scary thing is, you know, since I guess Cincinnati did beat them, but kind of offensively, I don't think that they could keep up with the Patriots like Pittsburgh potentially could. But the game was, I have no idea what to say about it. That was sloppy. Offensive line is getting beat up for now a couple of weeks in a row, and that's a bigger concern to me is just it's getting Brady off rhythm. So I think that that, like I said, 34 points we're normally scoring. I wanted the game to be over with by halftime, so I could go, you know, go shopping at the mall or something like this. But now I'm sweating bullets over here for no reason to this game. So, you know, obviously they got a lot to do, and you know, I think we're really missing Gronkowski, and these late season turnovers is something that they need to get fixed. But overall, as far as everything's going, I'm okay with that. I just hope Denver falls so we can get at least number two.
Yeah, and look, Melvin, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it here on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. Look, Denver's had games like this. You know, I'm not going to hold it against the Patriots. Yes, it was ugly, but I think you have to be somewhat encouraged by the way the defense played in general. And I understand you're having a heart attack watching Chad Henne come down the field at the end of the game, but still, 16 points. And I think after the first few drives for Jacksonville, some of which were aided by short fields from the Patriots offense, right? Like the Jaguars' second drive, they go 8 plays, 30 yards and get a field goal. You know, on the fourth drive of the first half, 5 plays, 57. So, I don't know, in terms of a scoring touchdown drive, the Jaguars only put one of those together, and it was on the opening drive. But after that, I thought the Patriots' defense held pretty well. And unfortunately, they were aided by, as we said, a couple of short fields. That Jacksonville offense had some short fields after turnovers in the first half. But I think, you know, I think Melvin makes a good point. You know, you wonder, with Rob Gronkowski practicing for the last week and a half, is he going to give it a go in that Miami game to at least get his feet under him? I would expect it. I would expect it. But I guess that remains to be seen. And one other thing we were keeping an eye on in the pregame that was not an issue, at least in terms of how many snaps he played and how he was utilized, Stephen Ridley and the ball security. I didn't feel like the coaching staff would go away from him. I said as much last week on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, but we've seen Belichick bench him before. He benched him last week. He benched him last season. So we've certainly seen it before. But Ridley's still out there, still your top guy, though we did see Brandon Bolden as a goal line back at one point, which just failed miserably. Bolden didn't exactly have the best plays at the goal line. Wes Welker wound up getting a 2-yard touchdown on that drive as the Patriots beat the Jaguars 23-16. Continuing with your phone calls, 508-298-0398. Let's go to Vinny in Michigan. What'd you think of today's result, Vinny?
Hey, first of all, Merry Christmas to you and everybody.
Merry Christmas to you as well, man.
What I thought, first of all, just piggybacking your Bolden comment, I don't know why they used him. He got suspended by the league. They didn't need to use him. Ridley was running fine. I think he was averaging like 6 yards a carry when they took him out of the game, and I was like, what? Why are you taking out of the game? I just think they should have sat him down. I know they're trying to get him, see if they got anything for the playoffs maybe. And I definitely think that Gronk needs to come back next week and take a good amount of snaps because you don't really want him rusty if we have to go to the first round of the playoffs.
Well, and that's exactly how I feel about it, Vinny. It's like, if you're playing on wild card weekend, you want Gronk to go next week against Miami. And right now, until we see a result from Denver, we're not going to know. I feel that way as well, and we appreciate the phone call. That's what I would do. If you're going to play wild card weekend, or if Denver wins essentially today, I would try to get Gronkowski out there next weekend. If Denver loses, then maybe you hold him out. But I think if it looks like you're going to play on wild card weekend, you want to get his feet wet. You know, you want to get him playing before the playoffs start. That's how I feel about it. You can weigh in on that, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio at patriots.com. He's going to have four practices under his belt the Friday before the Niners game, plus three practices this week. I'd say that's about right. If Gronkowski practices all 3 days this week, I would expect him to play in the Dolphins game. I would. Let's go to Tyrone in Delaware. Delaware, what do you got, Tyrone?
Hey, what's going on? Merry Christmas to everybody. I got two quick points. Denver Browns and Denver Broncos. You know, I'm not even have no hope on the Browns beating the Denver Broncos. We got to be the hardest Andrew Luck fans ever. That's the only thing I'm hoping on. That Denver game, Denver got that locked. So don't even forget about that.
Well, let me up, and Tyrone, I'll let you continue, but let me update it. The Browns did add a field goal, so there's just under 5 minutes left in the first quarter. It's 7-3 Denver.
Okay. My other point, early in the season, them PFW guys was talking about the offensive line, you know, without Brian Waters. And if money was the issue with Brian Waters, they should have paid him. Because, like I told them guys back early in the season, Dan Conley in the answer, and that offensive line concerns me big time. And as far as the offense, the defense, I don't blame the defense for the San Francisco loss, really, because the offense put them in bad spots. And I agree with you with this game also, that the offense put the defense. Defense didn't play too bad. So, I mean, this is what you're going to get from the defense. Middle of the roadish. We just got to score points. And that's all I got to say.
Yeah.
That'll be it.
Tyrone, we appreciate the phone call. Look, I'm with you 1,000,000% on that. You know, to me, I didn't think the defense had a horrible day today. Like, yes, the Jaguars are a bad offense. They had scored 13 combined their last two games, but still, you held them to 16 points. And, you know, Chad Henne certainly threw for some yards. And I think, you know, your heart's in your throat a little bit on that last drive when you're watching a team come down the field. But the Patriots ultimately got stops that they needed. They had good situational play as Hightower picked up a sack. Chandler Jones forced an interception, and Pat Chung had end zone picks on the last two drives of the game. So was it a banner day for the defense? No. But I thought they were okay. They held the Jags to 4 of 15 on third down. And I felt like the rushing seemed a lot worse than the numbers indicate. You know, the Jaguars had 23 carries for 93 yards, 4 yards a pop. It seemed worse, and they were only 1 of 4 in the red zone. I didn't think the defense was that bad. Today was all about how bad the offense was. And that's what surprised me much, much more. If you ask me what was more plausible going into this game, Tom Brady struggling against the Jaguars defense he typically carves up, or the Patriots defense struggling against Chad Henne, I've seen that story before. We saw it week one. So I would have said the Henne thing in a minute. I'm stunned that the offense did nothing in this game. And circling back to his previous point on the O-line, I don't have the statistical evidence to back this up. So again, maybe it's more anecdotal than anything else, but I feel like we've come in here so many weeks and we've said, well, the offensive line played well for 2.5, 3 quarters, but when you needed them the most, they give up a sack at the end of the game and you have to punt it back to the other team. I feel like we've come in here 3 or 4 different games this season, and that's how I felt about the offensive line. Connolly got Brady borderline beheaded on that final drive for the Pats before they had to punt it back to the Jaguars. Borderline beheaded. 9 quarterback hits of Brady today. So I just think, we talk about the situational defense coming up biggest when they needed it most. I thought the offensive line was the total opposite. You know, I thought the offensive line let you down at the end of the game when you're trying to pick up those first downs. So I don't feel bad about the O-line in general. I just feel like we've come in here a bunch and questioned why the offensive line is giving up key situational sacks. And is it a fatigue thing? Is that the other side of the coin with when you run up tempo and you run no huddle? Is the offensive line just gassed at the end of games? Like, is that what we're seeing? It's just a working theory. But, you know, I wonder what goes on with the offensive line at the end of games. I feel like we've said this a lot of weeks when we've come in here on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Let's get to a few more phone calls. Alex is in Pennsylvania. What'd you think of the game today, Alex?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
Not much, man. How are you?
Good, how are you? I want to wish you and the guys at the radio station a good Christmas. Happy holidays.
Appreciate it, man.
I love that guy's accent, the borderline Jamaican guy that calls in every week, the previous caller.
Tyrone in Delaware. Excellent.
Yeah, I love that guy. But I just feel like you really can't get mad games like this. I mean, these games are just the ones that just come out. You're like pretty much grinding out the year. And this, I mean, this was the Jaguars Super Bowl. I mean, this is what they look forward to. They look forward to a team that pretty much could be playing in the Super Bowl to make a statement for next year. You go off on the high praises. I really don't have no negative thoughts about this game other than the fact of like some poor offensive play on executions and third down situations. But I tell you, two guys to look out for in the postseason, Adam. I say you look out for the Who Man and you look out for Hightower. I think they're starting to, both of them on offense and defense, supposed to start to come in their own.
Well, Alex, and thanks for the phone call. I think Omanawanui had a nice game today. I do. He had a couple of nice catches. That play on the final drive for the Patriots, he stayed in bounds and let the clock continue to run. And, you know, he's just leapt over other guys on the depth chart. You know, he's beaten out Schenko. He's beaten out Daniel Fells. And I just think he's somebody who I had zero expectations for, and he's had a nice season for you, and I think he looked okay in this game today. You know, about once a game, he'll make a play for you. And that's pretty good, Addy, what we thought might have been your fifth tight end coming into the year. On Hightower, I thought he had a nice sack at the end of the game, and there was a play in coverage as well. He broke up a 3rd and 3 on the Jags' fourth drive of the second half, and the Jaguars had to settle for a 42-yard field goal. So the 4th and 5th drives of the second half, I thought Hightower played well. I thought he started the game very poorly. You know, Hightower was the closest man on that opening third down conversion for Cecil Shorts, 10 yards on 3rd and 10. And he also got completely turned around on an 11-yard run by Montel Owens on the Jags' second drive. So I would just call it a mixed bag from Dante Hightower, which I guess is to be expected out of a rookie, and I'd rather have him make plays late than make them early and not make them late. But I don't know. I thought it was a mixed bag out of him today. And again, maybe some of that should have been expected. Sun Life Patriots post-game show. Adam Jones with you here on Patriots.com. We'll continue with your feedback. 508-298-0398. I see you hanging out on the phones. Continue to hang out there. We want your thoughts on this game today. And also, the Patriots standing in the AFC as they've had some help through the 1 o'clock games. We'll get to all of that as well as your emails, webradio@patriots.com. And we head to the podium and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick next here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on patriots.com.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hooked up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Pfft, rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Welcome.
Welcome back to the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Patriots pick up a 23-16 win in Jacksonville. A hard-fought game as the Patriots improved to 11-4 on the season. It's Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We'll get to your phone calls, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll also head to the podium and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick coming up in just a little bit. But we want to head to the Patriots' victorious locker room down in Jacksonville and welcome in Marquise Cole of the New England Patriots following their 23-16 win over the Jaguars. Marquise, you're able to pick up an interception in this game. What'd you see on the play?
We had a couple covers called, and saw the guy go to the flat, and his back's off, waited for a curl or something coming behind, and threw it right to me.
That win today over Jacksonville for you guys, maybe a little bit harder fought than at least some of us would have expected going into the game. What made the Jaguars tough today?
Well, the Jaguars are an NFL team. You know, regardless of their record, they're still play football, you know, with pay just for that. So it's not like they're terrible team. The record might be what it is, but they got good players on this team, and they came out. And, you know, they wasn't going to lay down and just give us a win.
Marquise Cole joining us here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. Marquise, what was the message from head coach Bill Belichick following the win?
Just the same thing that we all know. You know, we came out and just got to start faster. We came out a little slow out the gate and, you know, picked it up at the end, but we need to start faster.
The defense, aside from your interception, had a couple of big stops on the final two drives for the Jaguars. You guys were able to get two end zone interceptions from Pat Chung on each of those last two drives. What's going through your mind at the end of the game as the Jaguars are driving down the field a couple of different times?
Well, we knew we had to make a play. You know, like I said, they got good players, and they had made a couple of plays throughout the day. So we were just trying to buckle down and make a play in the game for the team.
At what point did you know you were going to have an expanded role in this game? As we know, Alphonso Dennard ruled out last night, Aqib Talib in and out of the lineup. When did you kind of get a feeling you'd be in an expanded role?
Well, when the game started, you know, I'm always ready. So it's been other games where, you know, I'm not starting off at the nickel or inside on the slot, but then I get thrown in, so I'm always ready. So I was just ready all week.
All right, he's Patriots cornerback Marquise Cole. Following the Patriots' 23-16 win in Jacksonville, helps the Pats improve to 11-4. Marquise, thanks so much for joining us here on Patriots.com.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, Marquise Cole, the big interception for the Patriots in that game. One of three in the second half as the Patriots continue to force turnovers in their win over Jacksonville. And Pats get some help today as well with Houston falling, Pittsburgh falling, and Denver right now taking on Cleveland. It was 7-3 at last check. We'll head to the podium in a little bit here from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his team's 7-point win in Jacksonville. But let's knock out some of these phone calls. 508-298-0398. Let's go to Jonathan in Las Vegas. He's been waiting patiently. What'd you think of that game today, Jonathan?
Yeah, it was pretty good, Adam. I wanted to wish all of you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays.
Appreciate it.
You know, I have a few things to say. Number one, the defense, they came up strong at the end of the game. The only thing I was worried about was giving up those 200 yards in the first quarter. And what do you think about our seeding for the playoffs? Do you think we're going to get the two or the three?
I would say right now I would expect the three, Jonathan. But that's just because you still need a lot of help. You need Denver to drop one of their last two games, and they have a couple of cakewalks, including today against Cleveland. Though I do think Cleveland has a little bit of fight in them. Kansas City next week, and I think Indianapolis can give Houston a game, but I would pick Houston in that game even if it's in Indy. So I don't know. I see them as the three. How about yourself, Jonathan?
Yeah, right now I see them as a three because I don't see Denver losing.
You know, that's sort of how I feel about it as well. And I do think Cleveland will just be a little more competitive than they've been given credit for. But if you're asking me to pick in that game, of course I'm going to pick Denver, of course. Just like I'm going to take the Broncos next week against Kansas City as well. I think the better chance now, and I know Collins has been beating this drum all week, so good for him being ahead of the curve, but I think your better chance is Indy beating Houston at home next week. That's what I think. Andrew Luck, the Colts on their home field, and I actually misspoke earlier, as Cincinnati is 9-5, rather. So they can catch the Colts. And I was right the first time, 9-6. They can catch the Colts for that number 5 seed. So the Colts do have something to play for, as does Houston. But Indianapolis, back inside their dome, first home game for Chuck Pagano. You imagine that's going to be quite an emotional atmosphere. And I don't know, I'd give the Colts some, at least a fighting chance in that game, whereas I'm not giving that to the Chiefs. So if the Broncos win this week, they're going to be one of the top 2 seeds, and you're going to have to, as a Patriots fan, be rooting against Houston next week. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's how you get in touch with us here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. You can also send your emails to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Gary writes in. Adam, I have one major problem. The defense was just terrible at the beginning of the game. I would rather have Alphonso Dennard instead of Kyle Arrington in the game. Anyway, do you see the Patriots as the number 2 or the number 3 seed? I do see them as the number 3 seed. Dennard, I definitely prefer over Arrington. I don't think that's a question in anyone's mind. It's just, is Dennard healthy enough to go? He was ruled out last night for this game. I would expect him to be fine to go once the Patriots get to the postseason. Same thing with Tlaib, though I would be a little more concerned with Aqib Tlaib. Right? That hip issue that's been keeping him in and out of the lineup, or at least in this game today, and he's had hip issues in the past. I would be a little bit more concerned about Aqib Tlaib than I would about Dennard. Dennard was back at practice all week, so I would just feel better about his spot coming back and helping you come the postseason. And on that first point, he's right about the way the Jacksonville Jaguars started the game. Yeah, that was bad. 202 yards in the first quarter was a franchise record for Jacksonville, a franchise record for Jacksonville. However, I think after the first quarter, the Patriots defense, for the most part, settled in and did an excellent job against a bad Jaguars offense. You know, they held them to 6 points the rest of the way after the first quarter. So, yeah, the first quarter was bad, but I'm choosing to focus more on the final 3 quarters. The offense was bad throughout. So I would lay the blame at their feet. How do you slice things up in this Patriots ugly win, or hard-fought win, depending on how you'd like to phrase it, 23-16 over the Jacksonville Jaguars? What was worse in this game for you? 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll continue with your feedback, but we do want to head to the podium and hear from the Patriots head coach, Bill Belichick, following his team's 23-16 win in Jacksonville.
Okay, well, always good to win. I was kind of got off to a slow start here, but I thought, we were able to make some plays there, to get back in the game right before the half, and then, take the lead in the third quarter, or right at the start of the third quarter, fourth quarter, and, a couple good stops defensively into the game. So, there was always more work to do, and, we have another week to work on things before we head into the playoffs, but hopefully we can continue to make progress and be ready next week.
Look, you talk a little bit about the stop your defense made, especially in the final seconds, and from Chung to Jones to...
Yeah, I mean, we had some pressure, but we had pretty good coverage. So, we don't really want to put ourselves in that situation, but fortunately we were able to bail out of it. So we got a couple of those. We had one in the Denver game, similar situation. So they stepped up and made the plays, and that's, those plays we need to make to win, and defensively that group made a good punt coverage at that, prior to that, knocked the ball out. We might have had a shot at that one, but we didn't. But we had decent field position on defense, and they just didn't have enough time to get it down.
Coach, you had Dennard down, obviously with Tlaib with some issues working through the hip. Marquise Coleman, big spot. Seems like he was around the ball a lot. Runs, passes.
Did a good
big
job.
Interception there.
Yeah, did a good job. Marquise played inside on nickel position for us. Devin, we moved him back outside. Patrick Tavon played inside. So, yeah, we had a few moving parts there in the secondary. But, overall, it looked like we held up, okay.
Was that a challenge to try to find the best sort of combination back there on defense? Because you lose so many of them.
Not really. Those guys have all played there all year. Cole's played in a slot all year. Devin's played outside, so that wasn't a big thing. Kyle, so no, really. They've all done that.
What did you think about the start that you guys got off to in this game?
Yeah, it's obviously not what we want.
Been surprising.
They gave us a little different approach offensively, and I think we made some adjustments once we kind of saw what they were doing. I think our players and coaches, we all got a better look at it. They did a good job of starting the game off with a little different style, and they they were able to get the advantage on us, but I think eventually we settled down and handled it. So.
I know a lot of these players are bang bang. Did you have an opportunity to do that in real time? And what was your impression of
taking the chance to make that play there?
I don't know. That's, yeah, I think I'll take a closer look at it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what he could have done. I don't know.
Bill, it seemed like Tom was taking a lot of shots there at the end. Are you concerned about some of these hits accumulating here? Past 2 weeks, it seems like it's been under a lot of pressure.
Well, we always try to. I mean, we don't design any plays for that. You know, we always try to protect the quarterback. So, but that's part of football. I mean, guys get hit.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following the Jags 23-16 loss to Belichick's New England Patriots down in Jacksonville. It's Sunlight Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. And a few different points there. As you heard, Bill Belichick sounded like Zolak getting in a question on our guy, Marquise Cole, who just joined us here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Also, you heard that bang-bang play, Belichick touching on it. That play with Pat Chung, I was ready to have Chung on the bad list. I was, because that play was abysmal. It's as bad as it gets. Patrick Chung not knowing the situation, having no idea what's going on, an unnecessary roughness call and a hit to the head, which kept the Jaguars alive. On that final drive, they eventually converted a 4th and 10, 17 yards to Clemens in the direction of Devin McCourty, who you were reminded, if you weren't sure, why Devin McCourty has been moved to safety, because today was not a banner day for him at cornerback, especially on the opening couple of drives for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But that chunk play was horrible. However, especially on the second interception, you have to give him a little bit of credit. The first one, I think, was 99% Chandler Jones forcing the bad throw from Chad Henne, applying the pressure, even tipping the pass. And that was a fourth down play. The second one, I thought Chung made a little bit more of a play, but the two picks, especially the one that seals the game for me, you can't have a guy on the bad list when he seals the game the way that Patrick Chung did. That final play, though, or that unnecessary roughness hit, rather, was a bad one. And you heard Bill Belichick basically not wanting to go after the officials, is what that sounded like from me. Oh, I got to take another look at it. I need to see it again. You know what that means. That's just he doesn't want to get fined or anything like that. By the way, Broncos have scored again in that game, 11-17 remaining in the second quarter. Denver on top of Cleveland by a score of 14-3 as Peyton Manning found Eric Decker. I would say the odds of the Browns being as plucky as I was hoping that they'd be, that looks like it's not going to go according to plan, as the Broncos have been able to move the football at will against that Browns defense. We'll keep you up to speed on that here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. Let's go through some of these emails to webradio@patriots.com. It's where Vic from Dallas writes in, Adam, if Monday night was a moral victory, what the hell do we call this? It's a good question, Vic, because I thought Monday night, you cannot call that a bad loss. And Sunday night, when they lost to the Niners a week ago, you can't call it a bad loss. You can't. Now, the way they got down early in the game, that was ugly. Sure, no doubt about it. But the way they came back and showed how explosive their offense was against what I think is the best defense in football, even though they were without Justin Smith for a large chunk of that game, or a large chunk of the Patriots' comeback anyway, I still think the Patriots, you can call it a moral victory if you want, or you can at least call it not a bad loss. I would not call it a bad loss by any means. So if you're going to call last week a moral victory, I don't know, call this one an ugly win. Patriots able to survive. I don't know what you want to call this one. It's ugly, but look, it's better than what happened to Houston, as Houston lost to Minnesota this week. You know, it's better than what happened to Pittsburgh. So I guess that's how I'd look at it. By the way, and it looks like this play is going to be reviewed, but Brandon Whedon was certainly picked off in the Broncos game. And actually scratched that. Looked like the ball bounced first. So never mind. Looked like Denver had a turnover forced, but instead they're going to put this play under review. And it looks like it's going to stay Cleveland football. So still 14-3 with 10:15 remaining in the second quarter. We'll keep you up to speed on that game. Is there a major implications for the Patriots? We're just touching on Houston losing earlier today to the Minnesota Vikings, dominated in that game, 23-6. Arian Foster left with an irregular heartbeat, so you wonder what his status will be going forward. And the Texans have looked horrible. Two of their last three games with a win over the Colts sandwiched in between those. They play the Colts next week in Indianapolis in Chuck Pagano's first home game back. So you have to imagine that'll be an electric atmosphere. You also had Pittsburgh lose. They're officially eliminated. So for the Patriots, even if you're the three seed, it's looking like you're going to get the Bengals in the opening round or potentially the Colts. I would say either of those are fine in my book. Let's continue with the emails here. Webradio@patriots.com. Maurice is in Alabama, and he writes in, I believe the Colts will give the Texans a good game if they play their starters. But I don't put as much stock in the one seed because it doesn't guarantee anything. The last three times we've had have resulted in zero Super Bowls. And I would disagree with that. It's resulted in zero Super Bowl wins. You've gotten to the Super Bowl with the one seed. This game was kind of disappointing because they struggled against the 31st-ranked defense, and they couldn't protect Brady. That's something I didn't expect to see so close to the playoffs. I don't think Denver will lose, but we'll see. A lot in there. The Patriots won seeds. They had it last year. They had it in 07. They also had it in 03, I believe, so they're not 0 for their last three. And they've gotten to the Super Bowl the last couple of times they've had the one seed. Oh, sorry, I forgot about the Jets loss as well. He's right. So they've made the Super Bowl two times, though. They've made the Super Bowl. But they have not taken a Super Bowl home. So I would quibble with that a little bit. I think if you're getting to the Super Bowl, it's hard to frame that as a lost season. That loss to the Jets certainly was a bad one here in Foxborough 2 years ago. Struggling against the 31st-ranked defense, I hadn't necessarily put it in those terms. Like, yes, you struggled with a bad Jaguars team, offensively. And I lay the blame of this game at the feet of the offense. The defense had a bad start. The first quarter, they gave up a ton of yards, a franchise record for the Jaguars in an opening quarter, 202 yards, 10 points in the first quarter, though the field goal was after a bad Brady interception. But I put this one at the feet of the offense. You know, they couldn't pick up first downs or get big plays when they needed them. Case in point, the final drive of the game, offensively, for the Patriots. They go six plays, pick up 13 yards. They have to punt. Alu-Alu sacks Brady on a third down where Connolly gets beat, and Brady just gets crushed. So I just think situationally the offense struggled today, and in general, they struggled. And the offensive line, to me, again, at the end of games would be the most concerning part. When the sacks are happening would be the most concerning part for me. You know, not necessarily that they're giving up sacks, but when they're happening, because the sheer volume doesn't seem bad, but case in point today, Dan Connolly giving up a big one at the end of the game. Situationally, they seem to give those up. And maybe it's just in my mind's eye, but it seems like those have been happening quite a bit, where they protect Brady for 2.5 or 3 quarters, and in that final quarter, there's a killer sack in there. I feel like we've said that on 3 or 4 different Sun Life Patriots postgame shows with Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. We're presented by Yokohama Tires. Buy any set of 4 Yokohama Tires now through January 31st and get a $100 Patriots Pro Shop gift card free. This offer is available at all participating Sullivan Tire Service Centers, but hurry, supplies are limited. Let's go back to the emails here. Webradio@patriots.com. It's where Vashon in New York writes in, Adam, 2 questions for you. Do the Colts have anything to play for next week, since they secured a playoff spot this week? And I have to look at all the permutations, and I don't have them in front of me, the tiebreakers. But Cincinnati has 9 wins, and the Colts now have 10. So if the Colts lose next week and Cincinnati wins, they each have 10. I don't know what the tiebreaker is, but my sense is the Colts are going to have something to play for if they want the 5 seed. And the 5 seed for them likely means they'd avoid New England or Denver. So I would want the 5 seed if I were the Colts. So my answer is I believe they're going to have something to play for next week. Yes, with the Bengals winning. Also, writes Vashon, I'm hearing all this MVP talk for Peyton Manning. What about Rodgers? He's better in every statistical category, practically. Thanks for your time, and Merry Christmas to you and Kevin, writes Vashon. So Merry Christmas to you, Kevin. I haven't said that yet throughout the course of this postgame show. I think the Peyton Manning MVP love is totally warranted. I think the closest competition for him now is no longer Brady. You know, after the loss last week and a so-so performance today, I'm not sure that he's quite neck and neck with Manning as he was a few weeks ago. I just think the backstory with Manning is so compelling. That's what draws a lot of people to it. The way he's helped turn Denver around, though they were a playoff team that won a game, by the way, in the postseason last year. He's made them a much more dominant team. I wouldn't quibble with that. So I think that's a major reason you look at Peyton Manning as an MVP candidate. He's changed the culture there and changed the team. But I think more and more, his main competition has been Adrian Peterson, with what we've seen here the last couple of weeks at AP, just piling up yards on the ground. And look, the Vikings have been much, much better this season. They pick up that win over Houston today, just 86 yards on 25 carries for AP today. But still, I think he's the guy who you kind of look at and go, he's the closest competition right now. He's at 1,900 yards, or right about 1,900 yards on the season. So, I don't know. I kind of look at him as the guy who's picked up the most steam as a competitor. I don't think anybody would argue for Calvin Johnson because the team's been so bad, but, you know, you have to at least put or take note of the single-season receiving record. But look, Rodgers puts up great stats. He does. I just think he's expected to. And people were more skeptical about Peyton Manning coming into this season. So, I think the way he's turned things around, the way he's produced, I think that's why he's getting so much MVP love. And I don't disagree with it, by the way. You know, I thought a couple of weeks ago him and Brady were neck and neck. I think Brady's play has leveled off and or dropped off. And since that's the case, I don't know, I have no problem with giving it to Peyton Manning. I would certainly argue he's ahead of Brady at this point. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. What'd you think of the Patriots' ugly win in Jacksonville today? And also, on where they stand now in the AFC after getting some help earlier today from Houston, potentially trying to get some help as well from Cleveland in this game against Denver. However, the Browns do trail 14-3 against Denver. Again, you can weigh in, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. That's where Buddy writes in. Check that. Brian writes in. So now if the Patriots win and Houston loses next week, the Patriots will get the number 2 seed because New England has the tiebreaker. That's correct, Brian. If Houston loses next week and the Patriots win and you assume that Denver wins out, yeah, they'll be the 2 seed next week because the Patriots beat them head-to-head. They'd still ultimately have to go through Denver, but you get a bye week. I think that's all you can ask for out of the Patriots right now. I don't think there's a huge difference between the number 1 seed and the number 2 seed. I think there's a massive difference between playing on wild card weekend and having that bye. And I think the Patriots have proved it. By the way, Mike Reese, ESPNBoston.com, tweets out the following. General mood in the Patriots locker room, players hard on themselves. They give Jaguars credit, but say they know their performance wasn't good enough. And I would say that was echoed by Marquise Cole when he joined us earlier on the Patriots postgame show. You know, I would say he said something almost exactly to that effect. Yeah, they're an NFL team. You got to give them credit on the other side, but you can tell by his general attitude. You could tell from Bill Belichick when you heard from him earlier on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. They're not happy with this performance, and they shouldn't be. But if I had to slice it up, offense versus defense, I would say this game was much more about the offense's struggles than the defense's. Defense had a bad quarter. Offense had a bad 4 quarters. One more email here to webradio at patriots.com. Jeff writes in from Alberta. Adam, do you think the Colts will play to win against Houston next week, or do you think they rest their starters? And should we just accept that they'll be playing, or the Patriots, rather, will be playing on wild card weekend? I would resign myself to that second point. I would resign myself to assuming the Patriots will play on wild card weekend. That would be my guess at this point. I think the Colts have something to play for. I think they're going to want to play for Chuck Pagano in his final home game. And I think you want to lock down the number 5 seed if you're the Colts. That's what I think. I would much rather ensure myself of playing Baltimore or the Bengals, depending on who wins the AFC North. I'd much rather face that team or those teams compared to the Patriots or the Broncos. So, yeah, they're going to have something to play for. Now, they didn't stack up against Houston a couple of weeks ago. That was on the road. Let's see how they deal with it here. Again, you can weigh in, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. How do you slice up the blame pie in the Patriots' ugly win over the Jaguars today. And what do you think about their chances of grabbing a top two spot in the AFC? 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We just touched on the general mood in the locker room. We'll head back to the podium and hear from the Patriots quarterback, Tom Brady, next here on patriots.com.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Welcome to Dunkin' Donuts.
I need some of Dunkin's delicious packaged coffee.
Sure, how many do you need?
One for everybody on my holiday shopping list.
Wow, so that's why you brought a wheelbarrow.
Give the gift everyone loves to get. Delicious Dunkin' Donuts packaged coffee. Get 2 pounds for just $12.99. Available only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'. Plus applicable taxes. Single pound sold at regular price. Offer excludes 8-ounce packages. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Second and final hour of the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We've been tossing out a few different questions to you, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at Patriots.com. What'd you think of that Patriots win, ugly as it was today, over the Jacksonville Jaguars? And what do you think of the Patriots' chances of grabbing a top two spot? I think that Patriots game, I lay the blame more at the feet of the offense than the defense. I thought the defense had a bad quarter. I thought they played well after that point. The offense, to me, had one of their worst days that they've had yet this season. So that's frustrating. And on the Patriots grabbing a top two spot, potentially, I don't think it's a great opportunity. However, Cleveland's still hanging around in that Denver game. And you've already had Houston give you some help. So you can't completely rule it out at this point. And as I say that, of course, the Browns come up short on converting a third down while they're driving. They trail 14-3 with 5:07 remaining in that game. So I just think it's unlikely the Patriots grab a top two spot. They need an awful lot of help. You can weigh in on it. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. We'll get to the phones in a matter of moments. But first, wanted to read this email from Bill Berry. Bill writes in, I want to focus on the positive. He writes, they won. And I think that's pretty much the only positive you can take away from this game. I don't disagree with that. But, you know, I just wonder if there's anything else you can really take away from it. Like, Welker played a decent game here for you today. I thought the defense situationally made some nice plays, but other than that, you're struggling to find it. I thought Woodhead had another nice week. But not a ton of good from the Patriots today. So, yeah, I want to focus on the positive. They won. Exactly. Where else are you going to go with it? And it's better than you could say for Houston. You know, that's one of the things I will say. You know, Houston can't sit here and say they survived an ugly win and they pulled one out over Minnesota. Not the case at all. They couldn't do it. And we've seen Denver eke out ugly wins earlier this season. The Kansas City win comes to mind. Didn't they have an ugly one? Was it against San Diego or Oakland, Kevin, on a Thursday night? I think it was Oakland.
Yeah, they beat Oakland.
Yeah, but it was ugly, though.
It was ugly.
But that's my point.
They won by double digits.
But it's like, you have ugly games every once and then. So not to excuse
it. 26-13.
Not to excuse it and not to completely write it off, but just, you know, ugly games happen. That's all. And this one was, like I said, your heart's in your throat a little bit at the end of the game, but ultimately, you survived. Houston didn't. So you did your job. And I agree with the email from Bill. Let's open up the phones here, 508-298-0398. Vinny's in Michigan. What do you think about the Patriots standing in the AFC, Vin?
You know what? I'm kind of disappointed now that I think about it. We would have completed that comeback last week. We'd be sitting at the one right now, no matter what. And that's disappointing.
Yep.
It's true. Also disappointed to think that Peyton Manning thing might win the MVP. And lastly, I got a question of the day for you. Who are you rooting for in this Ravens Giants game? I found myself rooting for the Ravens. I don't think their win's going to affect their seeding, and I don't want the Giants to make the playoffs because I hate them.
Well, that's a good question, Vinny, and we appreciate the phone call. I bet most Patriots fans would line up with you. I bet most Patriots fans are just rooting against the Giants. They want to see them out of the playoffs, not just because you hate them, but because what if you see them again in the Super Bowl? Like, what if you see that team again in the Super Bowl? What Patriots fan would feel good about playing them? And he's right. If you're going to face Baltimore, it's going to be in the AFC Championship game, which would be here if everything holds suit, or everything follows suit, rather. You know, you've now leapfrogged the Ravens in the standings. They beat you head-to-head down there, but we've already seen an AFC Championship game up here. We saw how it went last year. And that Baltimore team, if you win out, you'll finish ahead of them. So, yeah, I would say most Patriots fans, if you're rooting in that game, you're probably rooting against the Giants. And if you see Baltimore in the AFC Championship game, it would be here in Foxborough. I think most Patriots fans would roll the dice with that. So, an interesting hypothetical posed. And by the way, the Broncos did get that stop against the Browns. There's inside of 5 minutes left before halftime. And Denver on top of Cleveland 14-3. There's still another opportunity for the Broncos to fall next week. They still have a game against Kansas City, but I would not hold my breath on that one. This will be the last best chance, I think, for the Broncos to get knocked off. I thought we'd see a competitive, pesky effort from the Browns. That really hasn't been the case thus far through the first 25 minutes or so of that game. We'll keep you posted on it on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you. We're presented by Sun Life Financial. They can help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sideline with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. We've already gone to the podium and heard from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his team's 23-16 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's head back and hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady.
Tom, obviously a tough battle out there today. Vince saying that he wasn't happy with the defensive side of things. Just your thoughts on, I guess, bottom line, getting a win.
Yeah, I mean, we played pretty terrible out there, so came down to the wire, and you know, our defense made some plays, but it was a bad 60 minutes of football. Got out-competed out there, out-fought. You know, we're lucky to win.
Did you feel like you guys came out flat? Did you feel like there was good energy when you started? Because you fell behind, obviously, early.
Yeah, we started slow. Couldn't do anything offensively. Couldn't make any plays. You know, they made plenty of plays. You know, lucky to be in it at halftime. Didn't really do anything in the second half, in the run game or the pass game. So, just a poor effort overall.
Tom, did it give you greater pause because of the time of the year, and maybe that you felt you might have advanced beyond having a flat performance, or can they just pop up at any time?
We just didn't play well. We just didn't compete. You don't compete in the NFL, it's going to be close.
So you believe it was more competitiveness than execution?
It was both. You know, execution was terrible. That was easy to see. We didn't do anything.
Tom, how much was it that they came in and competed perhaps more than some might have thought a 2-12 team would compete?
They played good. They didn't give us anything. I mean, we had to fight for it, and they made plenty of plays on us, and, just wasn't a very good performance. So that's it. Thanks, guys.
2 weeks in a row now, the teams come out like this. First game loss against San Francisco, you fall way behind in a situation like this here. Is it concerning to you that at this time of the season, 2 weeks in a row, the team comes up?
Sure. Yeah. It's very, you get very concerned when you don't play well, and that's very evident by the way we perform. So better have a good week of practice, or else it's going to be just as tough against Miami. So thank you.
Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, I think it was somewhat apparent he wanted nothing to do with that post-game press conference, and he shouldn't. You know, he was a reason why the offense struggled today. I had Tom Brady on my bad list. I had the Patriots offensive line on my bad list. They got Brady hit 9 different times, including one crushing sack that Dan Connolly allowed to Alualu on the Patriots' final offensive drive. And I also thought Aaron Hernandez had a bad day for the Patriots. A non-factor, 1 catch for 13 yards. Only caught 1 of the 5 balls thrown his way. Short-armed another. And also had a bad penalty in this game. You know, Aaron Hernandez, he had his own play negated where he picked up a first down. It was an illegal motion penalty on 3rd and 8. And instead of the Patriots converting, they wound up having to punt. So, you know, I think he had a bad day. The offense had a bad day. So I can't blame Brady for handling himself the way he did after the game. You know, he's frustrated with his own performance. He's frustrated with the offense's performance in general. He said it. Our execution was terrible. I think he pretty much hit the nail right on the head. Want to open things back up, 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. And we've been talking about the Patriots, their chances in your view of grabbing a top two spot in the AFC. I've told you mine. Also, I've given my thoughts on the win. Something else to mix in as well. What do you want to see next week against Miami? Assuming that Denver hangs on and they continue to win and they're up 14-3 and they're driving again on Cleveland right before halftime here, about 2 minutes left before the half. Assume that that holds. And let's say Houston and Denver win again next week. You know, what do you want to see out of the Patriots next week against Miami? Should they be resting their guys? Should they be getting Rob Gronkowski, his feet back under him, in the final regular season game, especially if it looks like the Patriots will be playing on wild card weekend? And what do you want to see them do at the running back position? You know, by and large, it was Stephen Ridley as the guy in the game tonight, or the game this afternoon, rather. You know, Ridley was the guy who fumbled twice last week, has lost one fumble in each of the two games coming into this one. He played 35 total snaps in the game. He was the lead dog in this game. But we also saw Brandon Bolden grabbing some goal line carries. So what do you want to see the Patriots do at running back? I think it's something you can mix in there as well. I'd stick with Ridley. Now, I'd continue to stick with him. And maybe you de-emphasize him a little bit in the game, though I was surprised at how much the Patriots went away from that up-tempo attack today. I know that's something, Kevin, you felt strongly about, that we're sitting here watching the game, and it's like, they should be able to just run this team off the field. They should be able to up-tempo the Jaguars right off the field, even if it's not passing the football, even if it's quick runs and quick handoffs to Ridley, and I didn't think we saw a ton of that today, Kev.
Which in the first half, the only real good drive they had was, you know, the quick Ridley. They were doing the up-tempo, but Ridley was running the ball mostly out of the same formation. And you and I were both talking about, usually when Brady's kind of in a funk, which he clearly was today with those two picks early, and I think at one point you and I looked up and he was like 3 of 9, 3 of 10. Usually the best way to get him out of that funk is to let him kind of go on the fly, make the adjustments, call the plays at the line of scrimmage.
That's what happened in the Niners game.
And I mean, that's usually what gets him going. And I felt like early they should have gone to that a little bit quicker. And I'll admit, I'm a homer. I feel they should do that all the time because I think that that's when the offense functions at its highest level. But, I get it. You're trying not to kill the guy, and you want to establish the run, and you want to stay balanced. But I feel like Tom Brady is probably your best player, and I feel like, you know, a lot of times he can be your offensive coordinator in these situations, and that's what usually gets this offense going. And I don't know. There's been a lot of games this year where I felt like that, where they should just do it straight out of the gun. Straight out of the chute.
And I think especially when you're clearly the more talented team.
Oh, absolutely.
Clearly the more talented
team. No question about it.
Patriots have statistically the best offense in football. Jaguars have statistically the second worst defense in football. So this is the ideal scenario. You know, maybe you don't do it against the Houston defenses and the 49ers defenses of the world. I understand that. You want to save it against those Ds either for a postseason game or you just don't think you can. You can out-trick, you know, those defenses. You can't be gimmicky against those defenses. You got to line up and beat them. Well, in this case, you shouldn't have to do that against the Jaguars. This should have been a gimmick game.
I agree.
Offensively. And they did none of it. You know, they had no success going to it, or at least no sustained success going to it. You're right. They did that one. I think it was their second drive of the game, Kevin. Or maybe it was a little later. They had two sustained drives in the first half. And I thought the first one on their second drive, they went 10 plays, 73 yards. Ridley had a long 23-yard run on that drive. I thought that's kind of where they did it. Then on the next drive, Brady threw a pick. Then they went 3 and out. Then they had another field goal drive, and then the Woodhead touchdown before the half, and that's how you went into halftime, tied at 13 apiece. I didn't think they did enough of that. And this is the ideal kind of team that you do it against. And for whatever reason, whether they came out flat, whether they took the Jaguars lightly, whether Brady, you know, is just not on his game today, whatever it is, you know, that to me would be a scary thing because I thought you could just line up and hang 40 on this Jaguars team. That's honestly what I thought, and they weren't even close.
And I was genuinely puzzled by, and I think you were too. I'm not going to speak for you. I'll let you comment on it. But both picks that Brady threw early in the game, the one to Ridley on the wheel route and then the other ball down the middle, I just felt like you don't need to make that throw there. You don't need to do that. He wasn't being... Now, granted, he was hit a fair amount of times in this game, and I know you put the offensive line on the bad list, but both those throws, they were not, you know, hurried, deflected throws or throws where he was being affected by the pocket collapsing on him. They were just poor decisions. You know, balls that should have never left his hand.
I think the Ridley one, you can I think it was more poor execution than a poor decision. I would tend to agree.
Yeah,
if that's Woodhead out of the field or out of the backfield
exactly.
on a wheel route.
Or Vereen,
I would feel differently about
exactly.
it. You have to know who your personnel is. Is that Ridley's strength going down the field
and
throwing to him?
And you and I both discussed that, and I said, and we had a good debate about it. I said, well, you know, that's a play that they like, that they've run in the past, and they like.
However, if Brady puts that ball on the money, Ridley should reel it in, and
absolutely.
He didn't. So that's why I would say the more I thought about that, the more I would put that as an execution. But the other interception, just totally locked on and forced it into Brandon Lloyd. Bad pick. Bad decision. Bad execution, bad everything on the second pick by
Lloyd!
Brady. Exactly. You know, Brandon Lloyd, talk about crashing back down to earth. You know, we had seen a couple of nice, solid games.
He made some plays in the second half.
Out of Brandon Lloyd the past few weeks. He had his one drive, Kevin, where I think he had three straight catches or whatever it was. It was the first drive right out of the half.
Do you have what he finished with, just out of curiosity?
I'm pulling that up right now.
Putting you on the spot. But I thought he had,
I can just tell you,
he had three or four catches in the second half.
I can tell you watching the game that Brandon Lloyd, not much of a factor. 6 for 62.
He had six?
On 12 targets.
That's not awful.
It's not good.
It's
you know,
good.
I didn't have him on the bad list. I had Hernandez on the bad list. I'm just saying, you know, we're an hour plus in, and we haven't mentioned Brandon Lloyd yet. And I just think he's coming off two promising games against Houston and San Francisco.
There you go.
Against two of the best defenses they faced, he had his best games. So I don't know. You were hoping maybe he and Brady were on the same page. They had a major miscommunication on the interception. And, you know, you wonder if a so-so game and some miscommunication between Brady and Lloyd, you wonder if that affects things going forward, because it seemed like they had been in sync the last two games.
But you know what I thought of, Adam, and I don't think we've talked about this, but when you bring up Lloyd's name, what stands out is the success that he's had the past few games previous to this. He's had a lot of balls thrown to him down the field. Now, he had the 53-yarder against San Francisco. And then also against Houston, I believe he had a 35-plus yarder that ended up being a touchdown down the middle. You remember that play?
A long catch against Houston?
Yeah,
I don't. I thought he drew a big pass interference call in that game.
But I'll look it up. But he had a long touchdown catch in that game against Houston. Like 35 yards, a play-action fake, I think, and he was open by like 10 yards. If you look at his
catch. I do remember what
against
you're talking
Houston,
about.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
So, and then he also had the long bomb, the 53-yarder that helped set up the rally in San Francisco. I do not recall a time today where the Patriots really took, a long ball shot. You know, there was no fly route to Lloyd. There was no, you know, tight end down the middle, you know, 30-yarder that, you know, in that San Francisco game. There was no real long threat at all today. So I felt like maybe part of the reason that the Patriots struggled and part of the reason Brady struggled to complete passes to guys like Hernandez, Welker, and Lloyd underneath was that they really didn't stretch the field and open anything up under the middle.
Yeah, and look, I think this is part of the reason, and we tossed it out. You know, if Gronkowski is good enough to go, would you play him or would you hold him out until the playoff game? 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. I would play him. I would play him. And I think he's got to be ready to go by that point.
Even with Hooman tearing it up there,
yeah,
Jones? Come on.
Absolutely. I would bring Gronkowski back. He's got, by the time the Miami game rolls around, assuming he practices every day next week, it'd be 7 practices. He should be back next week. He should. And I'm not saying you play him his full amount of snaps. I wouldn't play him on special teams, but I would have him back there. And I would have him playing again just to get his feet under him and also to get other people adjusting to what the spacing is going to be like and what the play calls are going to be like with Gronkowski back. Because you're right, Kevin. He's a guy who you do take shots down the seam to week after week after week. That makes your offense look different, and it sort of puts guys in different spots.
Yeah. I mean, how many times do you see him clear out the middle of the field where you see the back of a linebacker's jersey chasing him 30 yards down the field?
So,
and even though that linebacker's in position, Brady's going to throw it up to him.
I mean,
you see it all the time.
I would play him next week. I would not err on the side of caution with Gronkowski. If he's good to go, I'd get him back out there. Again, doesn't have to be a full-on role. Maybe it's a limited role, but I would play him.
So your take, just to clear this up for the fans here.
What's unclear?
No, just your take is that you want him in because you think that he needs reps.
Yeah, I mean,
Okay.
Do I think he needs reps? No, but I would prefer the reps.
Do you think the team is more in need of the reps with him in there than he is?
I mean, I just think need isn't the word I would use.
Okay.
I would just prefer it.
Okay.
If I have the alternative, I would prefer him to be in there. Need? No. The offense should still be fine with or without Gronkowski. They've proven that the last couple of weeks.
I tend to go the other way. I would like to see him not play, and I think that he's one of those guys that is proven he can do it consistently enough where...
Is he, though? I mean, we've only seen him come back from an injury one time.
Just in my opinion, I would rather not play him.
Well, we've only seen him come back from an injury one time, and it was in the Super Bowl last year, and he certainly didn't look like the same guy.
Pick in the end zone, by the way. Big play.
He certainly didn't look like the same guy in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
So that's the only time we've seen him come back from an injury.
But here's the thing.
So I don't know. I'd like to see it.
Is that he was like 50%, if that, in the Super Bowl.
Okay. I would like to see him back. That's all. Who knows how healthy he is? Okay. Let's see it in the game. A meaningless game against Miami.
I guess I'm just overcautious. I would rather not see him at all. That's just my take.
End zone interception for Peyton Manning. 14-3 game.
Takes at least 3 points off the board. At least three.
14-3 game with Denver on top of Cleveland right now, right before halftime. So we'll keep you up to speed on that one. Let's hit some of the emails. Webradio@patriots.com. Mike in Virginia writes in, Adam, grew up in Holbrook, been here for 4 years, and I miss my Pats and Bs. I think the offensive show, they showed the same thing, rather, the last two games in a row. We have trouble picking up the blitz. It's a big problem. Same as our Super Bowl loss. Last week was a joke. Teams know how to disrupt Brady, so we need some play change-ups. D has done great, I think. Mistakes. But the defense has kept us in every game. We're still a good team, but not a great team. Not sure if we have a Super Bowl chance, but I will always hope Pats will play a wild card game, and I think we need to run Ridley. Run, 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 and run him some more. But I will always hope the Pats will play a wild card game.
Why would you hope for that?
I that's a stance that I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't hope for that, I'll tell you that much.
You know, so that, I don't know. You know, that's just one that I don't get. So
maybe he just wants one more pregame and postgame show.
I also don't think I also don't think that it's a blitz thing the Patriots are struggling with. Like against the Niners barely blitzed in that game. You know, they were able to pressure without blitzing. I think that's what the Patriots struggle with. And by the way, this interception may not hold up in the end zone.
What I worry about, Adam, is the teams that they call them, like, you know, the Giants, for example, the Niners, the teams with the very talented pass rushers. I worry about those teams getting pressure with four, and you know, you still have your backside covered with, you know, with plenty of guys to cover, and I just worry about teams that can get pressure with four. That's what worries me.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Niners proved they were that, and I believe, and just thinking about it, the Alu-Alu sack, that's not a blitz.
No, it's a blown assignment up front.
Mincy sacked him.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who the third sack was, but I don't think that it was blitzing, per se. I just think the offensive line didn't have a good day.
The teams that, you know, have the talented front four that can get heat with just committing those four guys are the teams that give the Patriots fits.
Yeah. Seen it. Jets, Ravens, Steelers in the past. You know, you blitz with three or four and you drop the rest. That's how the Patriots struggle.
In contrast, when the Patriots rush only three or four, they can't get anywhere near the quarterback.
They get zero pressure.
So,
and by the way,
just the complete opposite.
They didn't get much pressure today.
No, they didn't.
I thought situationally when they needed to, they got it. The Hightower sack on the third down on the second to last drive, and the Chandler Jones play on that fourth down where he forced a pick. Right into the hands of Patrick Chung. Check the emails, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Eamon writes in. Do you guys think the Patriots are going to do a better job next week against the Dolphins? I feel like when we played them a while back, it was kind of a tough game. And also, the Patriots' offensive line needs to fix whatever's wrong. Brady cannot keep getting hit. Thank you and a Merry Christmas. I'm sorry, that was from Elias writing in. I agree. He can't get hit the way he got hit on that Connolly sack. Like, there's a difference between giving up sacks and getting your quarterback mauled on a play, right? And I think the second is what happened on that Connolly sack. So that can't happen. That's inexcusable, and I'm sure Dan Connolly feels horrible about it. Not only because he got Brady's block knocked off, but also the situation it came in the football game. So I would tend to feel that way. On the Dolphins' point, look, Miami picked up a 24-10 win today at home over Buffalo. I would expect Miami to come in here and be completely checked out next week, but look, I was wrong about this Jaguars game. I was wrong about the Patriots the first time they went down to Miami. I thought they would blow them out, and Miami hung with them. So maybe Bill Belichick has that as a teaching tool. Not only the Patriots coming off a struggle against the Jaguars today, but also coming off the struggle earlier this season against Miami. It's almost like a dual-pronged thing for Bill Belichick, where he can really show the team, hey, you guys think you can just show up and beat people? You got another thing coming. By the way, keeping you up to speed on some of these 4 o'clock games, Baltimore driving as well on the Giants right now, 6:40 remaining before halftime, and the Ravens are inside the 10-yard line. We'll keep you up to speed on that here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need for the Patriots fan on your list. Choose from the widest selection of authentic jerseys, hats, and tees, including AFC East championship gear. The Patriots Pro Shop is located next to Patriot Place in Foxborough and is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. We'll continue with your feedback, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. What would you do next week against the Miami Dolphins? How much would you play your starters, and how would you treat that game? We'll continue to hear from you there. Also, we hear from a member of the Patriots defense following their 23-16 win over the Jaguars. That's next on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder wait list and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Welcome to Dunkin' Donuts.
I need some of Dunkin's delicious packaged coffee.
Sure. How many do you need?
One for everybody on my holiday shopping list.
Wow. So that's why you brought a wheelbarrow.
Give the gift everyone loves to get. Delicious Dunkin' Donuts packaged coffee. Get 2 pounds for just $12.99. Available only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'. Plus applicable taxes. Single pound sold at regular price. Offer excludes 8-ounce packages. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Henny, fourth and goal from the 10. Henny's back to throw. Hit as he gets rid of the football. Intercepted by the Patriots. At the 5-yard line, up to the 10-yard line. Heading to the right is Patrick Chung. On his feet at the 15. He's at the 20. He's on his feet at the 25. And he's up to the 28-yard line. Patriots leading by 7 points with 5 seconds left. Third down for Jacksonville at the Patriot 13. Henny in the shotgun. Owens to his right. Snap to Henny. Here's the rush. Back to throw. Fires a rainbow into the end zone. Intercepted in the end zone by the Patriots. Coming down with it was Patrick Chung. His second interception of the game, and he saves the bacon at the end.
Bacon out of the frying pan into the fire. What's that Gil Santos says on the Patriots Radio Network? Patrick Chung bailing himself out with a couple of interceptions at the end of the game because, quite frankly, he had played himself onto the bad list. And Belichick was asked about this after the game. We played it earlier for you on the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium on Patriots.com. He was horrible before those last two drives. And, in fact, on the final drive for the Jaguars, he kept it alive with an unnecessary roughness where he just completely went headhunting on, I believe it was Cecil Shorts, and knocked him out of the game.
Who has a concussion, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, so, like, what are you doing, Pat Chung? Know the situation. Know what's going on in the game. Understand what's being asked of you at that point. A big highlight reel hit does nothing for the team. And all you did was get 15 yards walked off against you. Now, look, the first interception was gift-wrapped by Chandler Jones. Tipped the ball, dropped right into the hands of Pat Chung. I thought the second one was more of a play by Chung. But that bailed him out. I did not think his play was stellar. However, it's hard to ignore two interceptions, especially the one that seals the game at the end as the Patriots down the Jaguars 23-16 in Jacksonville. Now, before we hear from a member of that Patriots defense, we did talk to Vito Stellino of the Florida Times Union on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, and he's a favorite of a lot of the listeners of Patriots Football Weekly in Progress and our pregame show. And, Kevin, you told me that he's been tweeting here a little bit. By the way, if you're not sure or familiar with Vito Stellino, very, very anti-Patriots, anti-Bill Belichick. Sounds like he has a real axe to grind against Belichick. What are these latest tweets?
But we'd help him out if he broke down in the snow or whatever
he
said.
He said he did. He said he would.
But he has 4 tweets in a row here, rapid fire. I guess he's tweeting live from the Mike Mularkey postgame presser here, and these were about 7 minutes ago. He says, according to the Jags and coach Mike Mularkey, Belichick was up to his old tricks of bending the rules or doing something illegal on the Jags' offside penalty, which was a false start at the half-yard line. Now, if you remember, that was backup tight end, I believe, Jones, Zach Potter, False start when the Jags had, I think, like third down and goal from about the half yard line.
Yeah, I remember. Let me set that up because it was Kyle Arrington made a nice tackle.
Yes.
With a chance to go in. I believe it was Mayo then stacked up one of the Jags running backs right at the goal line. And then on third down, there was a false start by Potter.
Just pushed him 5 yards
back. Backed him back to the five or six yard line.
Then came the Hightower sack.
Correct. Yes. Then the Hightower sack, and then on the next play was Chung's first of two picks.
So that's
sort of where it was in the game. But anyway, continue.
So I guess Malarkey leading into that goal line series alerted the officials, of something, I guess, and told them to give them, I want to give you a heads up. Watch out for this. Malarkey's saying that the officials ignored that advice and didn't call anything. And I guess what he's accusing the Patriots defensive line of is doing an illegal shift or using some sort of cadence to sound like maybe Chad Henne.
Gotcha. So in other words, the defensive line all shifts at the same time and makes a noise and it gets the Jaguars to jump.
And apparently, they're maybe yelling out a defensive signal to trigger that shift and making it sound like Henne, calling for the snap. I guess that's what he's saying. So he's stirring the pot again here, and he's having a lot of people tweet at him saying, what exactly could the Patriots do, to draw the offense offsides or, to trigger a false start? And he's repeatedly saying using hard shift and calling cadence. So
yeah, so it's got to be a shift timed out with some kind of grunt or barking from the defensive line or whatever it is that makes it sound like a quarterback.
The conclusion that I think we're all drawing here, Adam,
Is that Vito Stellino hates Bill Belichick.
Well,
we drew that conclusion
Patriots,
in the pregame.
The Patriots can't win a game against the Jacksonville Jaguars straight up.
You can't just line up and
they have to either cut the quarterback headset communication or cheat in some way or spy.
That's definitely
what it is.
That's definitely what it is, according to Vito Stellino. That's the world according to Vito Stellino, by the way. He joined us on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you here on Patriots.com. We're presented by Yokohama Tires. Buy any set of four Yokohama Tires now through January 31st and get a $100 Patriots Pro Shop gift card free. This offer is available at all participating Sullivan Tire Service Centers, but hurry, supplies are limited. You can get in touch 508-298-0398 or email us webradio at Patriots.com. We'll get into how the Pats should approach next week against Miami. What do you do with the starters? What do you do with Gronkowski? 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio at patriots.com. We'll get to that after you hear from Patriots defensive lineman Vince Wilfork, who spoke following the Patriots' 23-16 win in Jacksonville.
They came out, they fought for 60 minutes. They sure didn't play like a team that's only won two games. They showed a lot of fight. They made some plays. And we just came out. I don't know if we was expecting for these guys to lay down just because we was in town and we, the big bad Patriots, but that didn't happen. So we was in a dogfight from the start to the finish. But we made, a little bit more plays. I think defensively we stepped up big in the red area today. But going forward playing like this, we'll be lucky if we win a ball game. This wasn't good enough.
Vince, Houston lost today, though. How proud are you of the fact that you were able to get out of here and you guys were able to make enough plays to get out of here with a win?
The most important thing right now is to win them. But like I said, even though we won, it's a lot of things that we did today that it won't cut it. Definitely won't cut it. So we want to have to suck it up. We want to have to, look at film and once again, keep our head down and keep grinding because from here on out, we're going to have to earn everything we get.
Did you think the team came out flat?
I don't know if we were flat or what, but it showed that we wasn't ready to go right away. And, when that happens, we really have to, buckle down and play football. And I think sometimes we did, sometimes we didn't. But like I said, these guys came in, they gave it everything they had. To the last second, and I'm proud of the way that we responded, but at the same time, at the end of the day, it won't be good enough. Plain and simple.
What were you saying to these guys in the defensive huddle, Vince? You talked at times before someone needs to step up and make a play. Chung stepped up, Jones stepped up. What kind of things were you saying down the stretch?
One of the things I mainly talked to the defensive line was the rush coordination, how we wanted to attack this offensive line, and especially being a critical point in the game, You know, throughout the whole game, I was just saying turnover, felt a big play, pick plays, and Sean came up with two big ones for us. And when you can just play together and play well, you know, we are awesome. We're a good football team. We're a great defense. But at times when we give up plays and we don't make enough plays, and you know, sometimes it's not good enough. And today we had a little side of both of them. We got the turnovers, but at the same time, we kept this ball game, a ball game, you know, for 60 minutes. And we're a lot better than what we showed today. We definitely are. And we want to get it. We have to get it moving.
You had that late penalty on the interception return. Can you explain what happened on that?
Well, I'm protecting my teammates. Plain and simple. I mean, you're not going to sit right in front of me and take a cheap shot at my guy with me standing behind you. That won't fly. Plain and simple, and I'll probably get penalized for what I did, but at the same time, you'll never see me, you know, letting my teammates just get cheap shotted like that with me standing right there. So it is what it is. It's part of football. Some people may like it, some people might like it, but I'm gonna do everything I can to protect my teammates, and I was protecting my teammate, but it is what it is. I don't think twice about it. If it happened again, I'll protect my teammate the best way I could.
The last 2 weeks, we've been people to say that your defense isn't good enough to win a title. What do you say about
that? We never listen to what people say about this team. I mean, people have been wrong a lot about this team. So, you know, that's one thing that we do a real good. That's one thing we do a real good job of around here is paying attention to what we got to do, not what everybody else is saying about this team. So it's going to always be people, you know, saying how good we is and how bad we suck. So you never can really pay attention to that stuff. But I just think when we play together and when we play with a lot of confidence and when we execute well, we're a pretty good football team. That's what I do know.
It's after the hit on the Chung had on Shorts. Did you guys say anything to try to calm down? He stepped up and made a big play after that. You saying anything to him?
I mean, no, because you know, at the end of the day, it's football. I don't think he was trying to, you know, hurt the guy. I mean, but sometimes it happens. Sometimes it looks like, you know, intention. But me personally, I don't think he was out trying to, you know, make that head-to-head shot like that. So it's football. I mean, sometimes you get bad breaks. Sometimes you be in situations where, you know, you have to be able to, it's a ball and it's a, you know, offender. You have to make a decision. It's a split second. Nobody will understand that except for a guy that been in that position. So that was just one of those things where you have to make a, you know, you have to make a choice in a split second. And sometimes it'll cost you, sometimes it won't. And in this time, you know, it cost us a penalty. I'm pretty sure, you know, he'll be getting a letter. But at the same time, I mean, we try to prevent it, but in the day it's football. You know, I hate anybody injured. That's the last thing, you know, I play. But sometimes it happens and sometimes it don't happen. But you have to be able to, you know, move forward from it. You definitely do. So, and he did. He moved forward and he made probably the best play of the game to seal it for us. Same to you guys.
Patriots defensive lineman Vince Wilfork following the Pats 23-16 win over Jacksonville. They improved to 11-4. You just heard him touching on Pat Chung and the range of emotions on that final drive for Jacksonville, which started off with Chung getting a 15-yard penalty and wound up with him getting the game-sealing interception. By the way, Vince Wilfork and that Pats defense, for me, I don't put this game at their feet whatsoever. You know, this is all about, in my view, the offense struggling. If you want to put the first quarter on the Pats D, fine. 202 yards to Chad Henne and the Jacksonville offense, I get it. Particularly that opening drive for Jacksonville was tough to watch. 9 plays, 78 yards. Chad Henne was perfect on the opening drive, as Greg Bedard tweeted out earlier. No completions for less than 3 yards on that drive. It was a disaster. But outside of that, I thought the defense played pretty well. Yes, it's a terrible Jaguars team, but I still thought they played pretty well from that point forward. So I don't put this at the feet of the defense. For me, this one was all about the offense and their struggles, and I did not see this coming in the least. In the least. So I don't know. I thought the offense could show up and hang 30 or 40 on Jacksonville. I thought you could up-tempo them to death, and they didn't. It just wasn't effective. So I didn't see it coming. By the way, an update from Denver and Cleveland. Phil Dawson has just nailed a long field goal to pull the Browns back within a possession, 14-6, with about 11 minutes remaining in third quarter action from Denver. If the Broncos lose, the Patriots will have gotten a ton of help today, and we'll probably look at this win over the Jaguars a little differently. It'll be framed as, well, the Patriots survived in Jacksonville while Houston and Denver fell, if that's what winds up happening. But we've already had Houston fall. We'll see what goes on with Denver, and we'll keep you up to speed on it here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com. Meanwhile, Baltimore piling it on the New York Giants. Ray Rice scampers into the end zone a little over a minute left before halftime. They're on top 23-7 with the extra point pending from Baltimore. Checking the emails, webradio at Patriots.com. Brandon from California writes in, Adam, I agree with you on Gronkowski. He should come back because he could use the Dolphins game as a tune-up. He hasn't played in a month, and I'm sure he's rusty. So we should use the Dolphins game to knock off that rust and also get the offense adjusted to having Gronk. I think the second thing is bigger, to be honest, and we appreciate the email, Brandon. I think getting other guys used to how the offense runs with Gronkowski out there, I think that's more important. You know, Gronkowski is a physical freak. So I think he'll be okay from getting himself up to speed from that standpoint. And I just think it's beneficial to have another week under his belt. I don't see the harm in it. So that's what I would do. If he's healthy, then I would trot him out there. That's what I'd do. Maybe I wouldn't give him a full-on, you know, a full-on 50 or 60 or 70 amount of plays, whatever the Patriots typically run. You know, maybe you give him a limited package. But I would play him next week against the Dolphins. I would, and I expect him to play in that game. But I also think it's about getting the other guys out there and getting used to having Gronk back, because as Kevin cited earlier, he's going to be going down the seam, and everybody else is going to adjust because of it. It's going to open things up for Welker and Hernandez underneath, you would think. But that's part of the reason why I'd like to do that as well, to get other guys used to having Gronk back, and not Brady, the other receivers. Rich writes in to webradio at patriots.com, subject line, sub the starters, sub Gronk, beat Miami. Rich writes in, next Sunday I'd play the starters about as much as the Pats did today. In and out type of game. Let some backups who are dying to make a play get their feet wet. And he's right. Defensively, the Patriots were very liberal with bringing players in and out of the game. They did it constantly at cornerback. They did it constantly at safety and on the defensive line. Also, they even took, and I've forgotten this, they even subbed out Hightower at one point and replaced him with Tracy White. So they were bringing guys in and out throughout the course of the game. Didn't do it quite as much on offense, though we did see some Brandon Bolden spelling Stephen Ridley at various points. Rich continues to web radio, patriots.com. Houston lost today, and they play in Indianapolis next Sunday. How much would the Pats be kicking themselves if they give Miami the game and Indy, which is very possible, beats Houston? I don't care if the Pats aren't the number one seed, and I don't think they need it as much as they just need to get a bye and get as healthy as possible. I completely agree with that. To me, I don't care about the one seed, per se. I want it if they can get it, but it's much more important to have a bye week and be the number two seed than it is to be the number one seed. You know, to me, I think that's more trivial. If you're the Patriots and you're getting a bye week, I feel good about it. If you have to play on wild card weekend, I don't feel as good about it. I think you can go into Houston or Denver and win one of those games. If you have to do it in succession, I think that's exceedingly difficult. I just wouldn't want to have to do both. And if you're the two seed, you won't. And you might not even have to leave Foxborough, depending on what happens on the other side. We've seen that happen with the Patriots before. Rich continues in his email to webradio, patriots.com. As far as Gronkowski, if he can play, he should, but his snaps should be very limited. If he's only limited in practice, which is not full speed, why on earth would they allow him to play at full time at full speed? Well, the Patriots have guys who are questionable play all the time, right? I mean, we see that week in and week out. So he's been practicing. I would expect to see him next week against the Dolphins. Again, just my opinion. Gronk for a full quarter's length is plenty. The last thing the Patriots need to do is limp into the playoffs, even worse, into a Super Bowl, especially when it looks like Denver might be overtaking Houston as the other team to beat in the momentum department. It seems that way with Denver, certainly, with Houston taking another loss today. And on Gronkowski, yeah, a couple of series is fine. Just get him out there, get his feet under him, and get other guys used to playing with him. That's all. I don't think he needs to play a full four quarters. I don't think that at all. So I agree with most of what Rich had in that email to webradio at patriots.com. And we're actually getting an email back. Her name is actually Rachel, Rachel Rich. She just sent in the email. So that's Rachel sending the email in. My apologies, Rachel. Thanks for the email to webradio at patriots.com. I only said her name wrong like five different times in that one little segment. So my apologies, Rachel. Henry writes in, and I hope I have that one right, to webradio at patriots.com. Adam, here's my theory on the effect of the up-tempo offense. I think the O-line is tired. At this point in the season, how many more plays have they run than an opposing defense? Is it the equivalent to a fraction of a game? One game? Two games? If this is the case, it could be quick postseason exit for the Patriots, or a quick postseason exit for the Patriots. And that's Henry writing in from North Carolina. I don't think the accumulation of extra snaps from a game standpoint matters, but I think within a game it does. Week to week, not as much. But I think within a game, we've seen it. We've just seen it too many times piling up. Where at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, they give up a killer, killer sack. We've seen it too many times from the offensive line. We saw it again today. So I just wonder. I don't know the answer. But I wonder if it's a fatigue thing. And I wonder if going in the up-tempo, even though the Patriots didn't do it a ton today, I wonder if it just wears out the offensive line. And that's why they give up their most critical sacks in the most critical spots. So that's just a working theory. And like I said, I don't have a ton of data to go on. It's just how it seems. Maurice writes in to webradio at patriots.com. Adam, do you know why the Jaguars seem to get an extra timeout? Or was the clock just stopped on that last drive and on that big hit by Chung? The play started at 54 seconds, and so did the next. Why is that? And go Pats. And that's Mo writing in from Vermont. Kevin, weigh in on this one. That was when the player got knocked out, correct? That was when the Jaguars lost a player. And yeah. So they had already stopped the clock, I believe.
Well, wait a minute. So are we talking about 20 seconds left, right around that?
He said 50, but I'm thinking of the play with 20 seconds left.
That was because that play was reviewed, remember? The catch? It was 4th and 10.
Oh, that was the 4th down play.
Off the back foot, that no-name scrub caught.
And that's where they got 30. Another play. And then the Jaguars, mind-bogglingly, still came out and spiked the ball instead of having however long while they were reviewing the play to go run it. You're right. You're
they
totally
reset
right.
it to 22, so that was they gave them the timeout
That was
back.
The Clemens 17-yard
catch.
Which
benefited them greatly, and then they just threw
and
it
they
away
just went and out spiked
it anyway.
Yeah, nice.
And that review took like 3 or 4 minutes.
It was a Hockley-esque review. You're right. That's what it was. So that's why it seemed like they got an extra timeout or an extra stoppage at that point in the game. And Kevin, you're right on the money. My recollection was incorrect on that. And Chung had knocked out Cecil Shorts earlier on the drive. So that certainly added to it. But the Jaguars were charged a timeout on a player getting hurt. Looking over how the Patriots performed in this game, I think you look at Ridley's numbers and you say 18 carries for 84 yards. Why wasn't he more of a factor? You know, and that's sort of what I came away from this game wondering. And continuing to look ahead to that Miami game next week, remember how you beat Miami at the end of that game? Like, you remember how it happened. The Patriots struggled for 3.5 quarters to move the football. It was similar to this game today. Offensively, it was similar anyway. The Patriots were never down to the extent they were in this Jacksonville game, certainly not as early as they were in this Jacksonville game. But you struggled to move the football for 3.5 quarters. And you know what the Patriots did? Their final drive was whatever it was, 16 plays, 70-something yards, ate up over 7 minutes of clock, and you just completely ran it down their throats. Stephen Ridley was key in that game to the point where Dolphins players were complaining about the Patriots running the same play over and over again and how it was disrespectful. I would expect Ridley and the running game to be a factor next week against the Dolphins. I think up-tempoing them and running them off the field, that's what you want to do. Because you don't want to see this game all over again. You know, you don't want to have an okay team that you know you're better than from a talent standpoint. You don't want to see them hanging around. And I would just up-tempo them right off the field. I was surprised they didn't do that with the Jaguars today. And the more you look over how Stephen Ridley finished today, 18 carries, 84 yards, I'm surprised at those numbers, quite frankly. Because in my head, I would have thought he was somewhere around 60, you know, maybe 15 carries, 60 yards, somewhere right around the 4 yards per carry mark. So I would expect a heavy dose of the Patriots running game next week against the Dolphins, and I would also expect Gronkowski to suit up. Get the Brady to Gronkowski thing working early, work on the running game, work on the up-tempo, and then you hope that the Broncos fall this week or next week, and the same thing with the Houston Texans. Texans already lost today to help you out. And meanwhile, you have the Broncos on top of the Browns, 14-6. It has been a pesky game midway through the third quarter in Denver, though the Broncos are driving all the way down to Cleveland's 26-yard line. That'll just about do it for us here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you on Patriots.com. Patriots pull out a 23-16 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. They improve to 11-4. They're still in the mix for a top two seed in the AFC. I'll talk to you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo as the Pats take on the Miami Dolphins. 1 o'clock Eastern kick here on Patriots.com. And I'll also be right here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show after that game on Pats.com.
This has been the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Next Sunday, the Patriots return home for the regular season finale against the Miami Dolphins. Kickoff from Gillette Stadium is set for 1 p.m. Be sure to tune in to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social at 10:45 a.m., followed by the Sun Life Patriots postgame show immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.